From KXJZ in Sacramento, I'm Jeffrey Callison. A recent pilgrimage to an old internment camp included Japanese Americans and Muslims from Sacramento. They'll tell you why they went to Manzanar and what they got out of it today on Insight. Also today, homeless women usually face many obstacles when they try to live again in mainstream society. One woman who's made the journey from the streets to a stable life will tell you how she did it. Plus, what is summer gasoline? Why do we have it, and do we really need it? First, the news. From KXJZ in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Jeffrey Callison. Coming up, homeless women face many obstacles when they try to return to mainstream society. One woman who's made the journey from the streets to a stable life will tell you how she did it. Plus, what is summer gasoline and why do we have it? First, last weekend, people from all over California and beyond made a pilgrimage to a former World War II internment camp. They gathered at Manzanar, a lonely place in the Owens Valley at the foot of the Sierra Nevada's steep eastern side. The former camp is now mostly ruined. In wartime, it was home to Japanese Americans, officially considered a security risk to the United States. Today, we're going to talk with a variety of people who just got back from Manzanar, Japanese Americans and a Muslim. We'll hear why they went and what they got out of it. We'll also talk with a ranger who gives tours at Manzanar. But first, let's go to Manzanar with this audio collage recorded at the weekend.
My name is Zaki Sayed. I am a journalism student at Sac State. People ask me where I'm from, so I just tell them Roseville. But really, my parents are from Pakistan. I was born here. I went to Manzanar because it's not just the Japanese-American experience. It's the American experience. And you're seeing these internees, and they're talking about their experiences, and you're really moved because you're trying to imagine people living here. And that's a little hard to do because it's not the most pleasant place to live, but you're imagining people living here, you're imagining them play the baseball games, you're imagining a group of people who kept on living, who kept on going to school, who kept on working despite being in harsh conditions.
My name is Brandon Mita, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I work for the Japanese American Citizens League. I work in the Midwest office, and every day I'm constantly surrounded by the legend of internment. But being on the site, you could hear the spirits whispering of my grandparents and of my ancestors and all those that went through endured this suffering, this kind of injustice by our own United States government. And so, I mean, just to put it all together, like, it's like the final piece of the puzzle for me that I was, like, waiting for.
My name is Hamza El-Nakhal, and I am from Davis, California. I was originally born in Cairo, Egypt. And I'm really frustrated by the condition that the Japanese-American had to endure in Manzanar. I've seen here, it's just a condition, just really extremely hot, and they're just in the middle of nowhere, there's no life around. I just don't know why anybody would pick a spot like that to have any lively people to live in there. It's it's almost criminal to see the condition that was imposed on people here.
John Onate, and I'm from Sacramento. And I'm Filipino-American. I think what impressed me about it was the brutal beauty of it, in a sense. It seemed like a very harsh, difficult place to make a life at. And to me, what was interesting is that the mountains on each side almost symbolized the fence or the barbed wire wall that was there, where they really felt totally trapped and excluded from the rest of the world.
That audio collage from Manzanar was recorded at the weekend by Carl Watanabe and edited today by Paul Conley. In our studio, a couple of guests who were at the pilgrimage and a couple of others who were on the phone. Let's start with Andy Noguchi, who's the chair of the committee that organized the Manzanar pilgrimage. He's also a member of the Florin chapter of the Japanese American Citizens League. Andy, welcome to Insight.
Oh, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Why was this trip to Manzanar called a pilgrimage? It's a word that's usually used in a religious context.
I think it was a very diverse group of Americans seeking out some answers, seeking some sort of, in some way, spiritual affirmation about what this really meant for the community, what this means for America. So we ended up on that three-day pilgrimage and traveling across to over 350 miles on a bus trip together, most of us who didn't know each other.
Have you done anything like this before?
This is actually the second one that's been organized from the Sacramento area. Last year was the very first from the Sacramento area.
And what does it do for you to make this trip? You called it a seeking spiritual affirmation. Was anything affirmed for you?
I think a lot of things. Getting a better understanding of the Americans who went through this experience, the strength of the people, the values, the perseverance of people who went through this, and also some lessons that might be valuable for us today as Americans and dealing with similar types of things.
You said that there was a bus trip from Sacramento. How many people?
We had about 50 people going on this trip. It was quite a hodgepodge of people. Most people think, well, you're going to go with a bunch of Japanese Americans and you're going to go with people who are back there at this time. And, you know, people are in their 70s and 80s. That wasn't a situation. It came as a shock that only half the people were Japanese Americans, and people ranged in age from 85 down to 13.
Do you have a personal connection to Manzanar or to any of the camps?
Yes, I do. A couple of years ago, I was looking through some of the documents of my late father, and I saw a small picture in there titled Children's Village. And I found out that this was the only orphanage in the World War II internment camps, and that two of my youngest uncles were orphans in the camp in Manzanar. So I had a personal desire to go there and maybe appreciate a little bit more of what they went through in growing up.
Well, you said there were some younger people on the bus trip from Sacramento, and one of those people is also in our studio. She's Annie Kim Noguchi, and as you might suspect from her last name, she's Andy's daughter. Annie, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
What does Manzanar mean to you? Why do you go on this trip?
I go on this trip for a lot of reasons. I've grown up my whole life hearing about the internment camps and the legacy that it has left on my family and on the Japanese-American community. I hear my grandparents talk about it. I hear all of my older relatives talk about it. So that was one of the main reasons I was interested in going. And I was also interested in going because I wanted to spend the weekend with such a diverse group of people who had so much to offer different perspectives. And I was surprised coming back on the bus trip when we were doing reflections. Even the people who weren't Japanese American and didn't have a personal connection to Manzanar still had, they came back with something really special from Manzanar.
Had you been there before?
I've been there twice. I went on the pilgrimage last year and I went just with my parents 2 years ago.
What did you make of what you saw there? Because a lot of it's ruined, isn't it?
Yeah. Most of it is ruined. I saw just the land. We walked around the camp, and it was just really hot, really dusty. We saw some barbed wire on the ground. We saw some foundations of old barracks.
Did you imagine yourself being there if you had been born, say, 60 years earlier?
Yeah. I tried to imagine myself being there, and I imagined my grandparents being there, but it's amazing. I don't know how people lived like that.
And Andy, do you find yourself doing that as well, saying, you know, if things had been a bit different for me, I could have been here?
Definitely. Talking to a lot of the seniors who are on our trip, just trying to put ourselves as, you know, modern-day Americans into that situation, you know, with the temperatures, the weather, the dust storms, the lack of privacy, the poor food and health conditions, the terrible educational conditions. I look at that and say, you know, how fortunate are we today to have so many things and to have our rights respected and not be faced with that situation.
Our topic is the recent pilgrimage to Manzanar, the former internment camp for Japanese Americans during World War II. It's in the eastern Sierra Nevada, just east of the Sierra Nevada in Southern California. And all of our guests today were on that trip in our studio, Andy Noguchi, who chaired the committee that organized it, and his daughter, Annie Kim Noguchi. On the phone, another person who was on the pilgrimage, and she is a former internee at Manzanar, Carol Hironaka. Carol, welcome to Insight.
Thank you.
How old were you when you were at Manzanar?
I was only 17.
So you were very much grown up, I guess, grown up enough to see what was going on and perhaps to even understand.
Well, yes.
Well, not to understand maybe, but to at least be aware of what was going on.
Yes.
What are your memories of it?
Well, it was pleasant for me because, you know, we didn't have any, I don't know exactly what I would want to say, but anyway, we were all workers. We had to work, even though, I often get tongue-tied.
That's okay.
I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's quite okay.
Capable people were expected to, you know, have some kind of job up there. And we, although I just graduated from high school, not exactly. We were whisked away before the graduation, and we were taken to camp, and we were, well, I had my job at a clerical position, and at the administration. But then we had to walk quite a distance from this block 30 to the administration straight ahead. Mm. And then, of course, after working in the clerical position, we had to come home, and that's another walking.
Were you ever able to graduate from school?
Oh, yes. We got our diploma sent to us from high school.
How did you feel about helping to organize the place that was keeping you and your family against your own will? Because you were a clerical worker, not that you were making decisions, but you were basically, I guess, forced to help run the place.
Well, yes. Well, the government had to be paid, you know, so we see these huge vouchers, not huge, but these vouchers with the supplies that were furnished in camp, like we had 2,000 pounds of liver and herring. That's awful stuff.
And, I didn't want to see anything.
And, you know, and mutton. And, you know, we're not used to all that kind of meals that they have to, chefs or cooks have to prepare.
Yes.
And that was quite something else, you know. It's just...
What did you think when you were taken to the camp? Were you angry?
Well, I don't quite remember, but my folks and my grandparents, they thought that it was a kind of a vacation for them. Because, you know, when you're on a farm, you work practically every day, and that gave them a little respite from all that.
I'm talking with Carol Hironaka, a former internee at Manzanar who went on the recent pilgrimage. Carol, we got a song here to play, and correct me if I pronounce it wrongly, but a Shina no Yoru.
Yes.
And this is an old Japanese song, which I believe is from that era. Let's listen to a bit of it first.
Okay.
みんなとの明かり紫のように昇るジャンクの夢の船。
So, Carol, what is the song? What's it about?
Well, Shina no Yoru is night in China.
Yes.
To my translation.
And this was a hit song. It was popular around about the Second World War. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
In fact, before, I think.
Yeah. Andy, I hear that the everyone sang this on the bus to or from the pilgrimage. Is that right?
Some people who understood Japanese. I don't understand Japanese, and yes. I think most of the people aren't of that age and aren't first generation or second generation.
Mm.
But there was quite a few cultural performances. We had a rap performance by Zaki, Muslim youth. We had other folk songs that were popular, American folk songs that were popular too, kind of bringing back some of the thoughts of that time.
Now, another person who was on the trip joins us by phone, Dina L. Nakal, who's Director of Communications for the Sacramento Valley Office of the Council for American Islamic Relations. Dina, welcome to Insight.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Now, you're not of Japanese ancestry.
I am not, no.
Why did you go on the pilgrimage?
Well, actually, I was part of the organizing committee of the pilgrimage, and to tell you the truth, I think it was last year, or maybe about 2.5 years ago, that I had sort of thought of the idea, and I kind of brought it up to Andy as we were talking over dinner, and he said, "You know, it sounds like a really great idea. Let's do it." And the reason I had brought it up was I thought, what a powerful thing it is to visit this this place that almost looks as his you know, the way it did prior to the construction of the barracks. There's literally nothing is out there. There's no city. There's no town around it. And to see what the United States did during a time of wartime hysteria, and how perhaps even portions of the Constitution were overlooked, particularly with regards to the Japanese Americans, those who actually were citizens of the United States, not just folks who may have immigrated, and how they were treated, and how perhaps that was quite reminiscent of some of the way the Muslim Americans and Arab Americans felt like they were being under the same type of scrutiny today.
What went through your mind as you walked through Manzanar?
I think some of it is just absolute shock at what people are willing to do to let go of civil rights, willing to let go of freedom, willing to give that up, honestly, for under the auspices of security. You know, interestingly enough, at the time, Japanese Americans were told that the internment was really for their own security and their own safety. But the reality is, when the tower guards were constructed, most of the guns were really pointing in. They were not pointing outside, so they were actually aimed at the folks that were being interned.
Are you concerned that this could happen to other people at some point in the future?
Absolutely. I think the fact that it happened once can say that it can very easily happen again. And the reality is that some of the laws that have been passed in the recent era are proof of what it is that we may be willing to do. You know, whether it was some parts of the Patriot Act that have passed that basically said that we're willing to spy on each other or tap or to have the FBI basically watch over, or the special registration program that was instituted in 2002 for folks, particularly men from Muslim and Arab countries, to register with the government. I think those, in fact, very much show what it is that folks, what can happen during a time of war.
Our final guest, also on the phone, is Richard Potashin, who's a park ranger at Manzanar. Richard, welcome to Insight.
Thank you very much for having me.
How's the weather down in Manzanar today?
It's almost as hot as it was for pilgrimage.
Which
and,
was?
of course, there is always the wind.
Yeah. How hot is it?
It's about 90 degrees right now.
Well, that's toasty for 1st of May. And windy as well. Is that normal?
Oh, very much so. For this time in the spring in the desert, it's always very windy, but it's part of the atmosphere that just kind of surrounds the stories and the history of the Manz in our camp. Many former internees, most memorable recollections of their experience was the dust storms and the wind, the constant wind, and of course the blistering heat in the summertime and the bone-chilling cold in the winter.
It's quite a lonely place today. I've been there once before, and that it really struck me how relatively isolated it was, even though it's in California. You have to go a long way to feel isolated in California, in much of California.
Right, that's correct. It's always been, it's pretty much, the Owens Valley is still pretty much the same as it was almost 80 or 90 years ago, in large part because of the city of Los Angeles' water gathering efforts up here, and they established a right to the water supply. Some people would argue kind of going through a lot of unethical practices to do so, but they established an aqueduct. And that's how the city of L.A. really came to be.
Sure.
It's based on the water supplies of this remote area. So they keep us kind of in a zero growth policy here.
Why is there so little left of the Manz in our camp?
There's several reasons for that. The one that most people seem to associate with is the fact that the government was felt very guilty and shameful for the unjust incarceration of Japanese Americans here during the war. And I think that's a very valid point. There was also a practical consideration, too. The Army, when they came in here to construct the camp, leased the land from the city of Los Angeles. The stipulation was in the lease agreement that the site would be returned to its natural character after the camp closed. So that necessitated the removal of almost 800 barrack buildings off the site, and that happened within the first year from 1946, actually to 1947. The government was very busy in trying to auction off buildings, and eventually they did. Most of the buildings where Japanese American families lived were auctioned off and dismantled and bought by local residents, veterans, government organizations from all over California, Nevada, and Arizona came to Manzanar, which really essentially became a huge lumber yard after the camp closed. And the whole idea was to recycle materials. But I've talked to people who built houses and homes out of the wood that families lived in, and I asked them, don't you have kind of an eerie feeling to know that this was part of an unjust situation? And they kind of paused for a little while and think about it, and they really were most interested in just the practicality of getting materials after the war. And other people say, I wouldn't have anything to do with, with a barrack from Manzanar or a door, a window, or a stove, or anything. So different perspectives like there were about everything revolving around this history.
And finally, Richard, what's it like working at Manzanar?
Well, it's extremely, sometimes it's very controversial. It's very inspiring to be sharing this story with groups and individuals like the Florin group, because the history really does come tremendously alive, because we're only 65 years removed from what happened here, and there's still quite a few internees still alive who can share their very heartfelt stories about what life was like for them and their families at Manzanar. And we get internees coming in here almost every day. And also the fact that they're bringing their children, they're bringing the next generation with them, and giving them the opportunity to learn about this history. Not just the Japanese American, it's not just a Japanese American story. It's an American story. It's American history, and that's why it's so important for this story to be on a national stage like it is here. So, so everybody who wants to come here has the opportunity to learn the significance and the importance of this history. Like your previous guest mentioned, we will never repeat this again.
Richard, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Richard Patashian, a park ranger at Manzanar. We'll wrap this up with our last couple of minutes. Earlier, Andy Noguchi said that there were reflections in the bus home, and I'd just like to hear what was in the top of your minds on the bus home. We'll start with Annie Kim Noguchi.
On the bus ride home, I was just amazed talking to all the other people on the bus that they all had formed a personal connection with Manzanar, and they all had taken something really significant and really big from it, even though they didn't have a personal connection to the camp. They got a lot out of it, and I was just surprised by that.
Carol Hironaka, what did you think about when you were driving home?
Well, I was really happy that I was able to going to that pilgrimage. And then I mentioned the fact that, we had traveled up to, Mono Lake. There was this man and a wife, I think, yes, from San Francisco, Caucasian person, and they met, asked me what group I was with, and I told them, and we were coming back, and they mentioned that they had the executive order, the original executive order. Then he had given it to the Park Service. I don't know how many. I think about two. He mentioned, and I thought, wow, there are people that are interested in all this happenings, and I was really impressed about that.
Thank you. Dina Al-Nakal, what was on the top of your mind on the drive home?
I guess on the top of my mind was how fragile freedom is and how easily it can be lost when people are willing to allow logic to go out the window. But the other thing I think that was extremely important to me was that, some of the folks that went on the pilgrimage may have had a very personal connection, and I may not have personally had one myself, but I developed a very personal connection through the folks and the internees and the friendships that I made. Some of those folks became very, very close to me, and quite frankly, their history is now my history as well.
And finally, Andy Noguchi?
I was just struck by the parallels between what some of the Muslim Americans are sharing about their experiences after 9/11 and the same experiences Japanese Americans had after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, that the FBI surveillance, the searches, the arrests, the secret confinements had happened, in recent times, and just how important it is to try to reach out to innocent people and, support our fellow Americans when this is happening.
Thank you all very much. All my guests were on the recent pilgrimage to Manzanar from the Sacramento area. And they are in our studio, Andy Noguchi and his daughter, Annie Kim Noguchi, on the phone, Carol Hironaka and Dina Al-Nakal. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Insight from KXJZ. Coming up, a Sacramento woman who successfully moved.